How many of y'all have watched one of those movies the past few weeks? Yeah. You know, we live in a day and age where we can watch any Christmas movie we want. Everything's at our fingertips. Back in my day, you had VHS. And if you didn't have VHS, you waited till December to watch a movie. Now we've been blessed with things like Netflix and Hulu and Amazon Prime. And so we can watch Christmas movies anytime we want. How many of y'all have an absolute favorite Christmas movie? That no matter what, you have to watch it. Oftentimes, you'll gather the family around and you'll cut on the TV. You'll watch that particular Christmas movie. And for you, it's a time of creating incredible memories with your family, your loved ones, and your friends. Well, regardless of what your favorite Christmas movie is, regardless of what that Christmas movie is trying to tell, there is nothing that tells the story of Christmas greater than the Bible. You see, Buddy the Elf doesn't know the true meaning of Christmas, but the Scripture gives us the true meaning of Christmas. The true meaning of Christmas wasn't dreamed by some director in Hollywood. It was given to us by God Himself. There's a man in Scripture by the name of John. John was one of the first followers of Jesus Christ. John had a personal encounter with Jesus. John saw firsthand the beauty of the story of Christmas. And we see John write a letter entitled 1 John. And in two verses, he really tells us the importance of the great story of Christmas. It's found in 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 through 10. The words of the scripture will be up on the screen. But if you can come here tonight, and for whatever reason you don't have a Bible, I would love to give you a gift, the gift of the Bible. So in the seat in front of you or the seat beneath you, you'll see a blue Bible there. Please take it home with you. Take it home. Please read it. I pray that you encounter the living Lord. But we'll be in 1 John 4, verse 9 and 10. And this is what the scripture says. Scripture says, "In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent His only Son into the world so that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Everything that we are celebrating tonight, everything that we will celebrate tomorrow is wrapped up in these two verses. In these two verses, we see three foundational truths about the great story of Christmas. And here's what happens in life. We make things so complicated. Every area of our life is complicated until we get to the heart of the Scripture, the Gospel, the Good News. It is very simple. And so tonight I want to share with you those three foundational truths. My prayer for you is tonight, maybe for the first time, you'll really understand not just the celebration of Christmas, but the experience of Christmas. And maybe for you tonight, you know the story of Christmas. You know the reason why we celebrate Christmas. But I pray tonight it would be a reminder to you of how awesome it is to know the Lord and that the Lord knows us. So three truths. First truth, God loves you. God loves you. Let that sink in. We hear that, and for many, it has so little effect. But God loves you. Right here, right now, God loves you. You know, if you think about the world for a moment, the world is quite diverse, isn't it? If you had the ability to hop in a plane in Charleston right now and just fly around the world and stop at different parts of the world, what you would find is that the people of this world are very diverse. You would find that people look different. You would find that people eat different things. You would find that people speak different language. You would find that people dress in different clothing. You would find that there's different customs of this world. You would find that there is great diversity in this world. And not just in this world, but just in this room alone, there's great diversity. And yet, in all the diversity of the world, in all the diversity of this room right now, there's one thing that every person on the planet shares in common, and that is this. Every person on this earth wants to be loved and wants to be accepted. Whether you want to admit it or not, maybe you sit here tonight and you're too cool for that, right? You're too independent for that. You're too prideful for that. At the very core of who you are, You want to be loved, and you want to be accepted. You don't have to go too far to figure this out. Look at high school students, for instance, right? They dress the way they dress. They talk the way they talk. They go to the places that they go to. They drink the coffee and the energy drinks that they drink in many ways to gain the acceptance and love of someone else. Now, before we get too down on kids, adults aren't much different, are we? Adults do the same thing. Unfortunately, our stuff just tends to cost more money, right? In fact, last year in the U.S. alone, Americans spent $2.1 billion on the online dating industry. That's more than the domestic product of 30 nations. That's a lot of money spent by us as Americans on the industry of online dating. Why? Because we want to be loved and we want to be accepted. But guess what? The beauty of Christmas is this. We can stop searching. Because here's what Christmas tells us. Christmas tells us that God loves you. And maybe you never heard that before. Maybe this is the first time that you've heard that God loves you. Or maybe you walk in here and you say, I can't be loved. You don't know my past. You don't know the state of my present. You don't know what my future will be. Maybe you're here and you think you're too good for it. Maybe your idea of God is that He's some kind of tyrant, that He's some kind of killjoy, that He's some kind of great manipulator. Listen, that is not the God of the Bible. The God found in the Bible loves you. It doesn't matter where you've been, it doesn't matter where you are, and it doesn't matter where you're going. God loves you. Herschel Hobbes says it this way. The real essence of love is that God loves us. We are so unworthy, so contrary to everything that God is in His nature, that we should not complain if He were utterly repulsed by what and who we are. But God loves us, not for what we are, but despite it. You see, the story of Christmas teaches us that God doesn't love us because we're somehow lovable. God loves me and God loves you because He chose to love us. And as you sit here tonight, you need to understand that the God of the universe, the God who created you out of the dust of the earth, the God who breathed the very breath of life into your lungs, has chosen to love you. That's what the Bible teaches us. 1 John 4:9 says, in this, the love of God was made manifest among us. That word manifest here means to pull back the covers, to show openly, to declare publicly. You know, as parents, this is a great joy of being a parent. We can tell the world and tell our children at any moment, at any time, that we love them, right? I tell my kids all the time I love them. And here's what we find as parents. As they get older, they get embarrassed when we tell them we love them in public or if we show any public display of affection. No PDA, right? They don't want that. But I tell my kids right out of the gate, one of my roles as a parent is to embarrass you with my love, right? And so they know. They know that it could be at school, it could be at church, it could be at Costco or where we go shopping. I'm going to make them know. They're going to be reminded each and every day that I love them, regardless if it causes great embarrassment. So my kids are here tonight. I love you guys very much. And just so I don't get in trouble, I love my wife, my beautiful wife, very much as well. You see, Christmas is the story that God loves us. It's as if God rolled down the very window of heaven and shouts out, I love you. I love you. Now the question is, how did God go about doing that? How did He shout out the window of heaven that I love you? Well, that leads us to the second truth tonight. God reveals His love for you by sending Jesus. That's how God shouts out the window that I love you. God, at His own initiative, chose to show us how much He loves us by sending Jesus into the world. That's what 1 John 4:9 says, that God sent His only Son into the world. What we're celebrating here tonight, what we celebrate at Christmas time, is the very birth of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus is revealing to us. He's revealing to us how much He loves us by sending Jesus. Think about it like this. Tomorrow, most of us, we're going to wake up, right? Some of us pretty early, especially if you have kids. And you're going to gather around a tree, right? And around that tree, you're going to hand out, pass out gifts. You're going to receive gifts. You're going to give gifts. You're going to open gifts with one another. Why do we do that? Because it's an expression of what? It's an expression of our love for one another. And here's what we learn in the giving and exchanging of gifts. And in large part, the value you place on the relationship determines the significance of the gift, right? It makes sense, right? Have you ever been to Target or Walmart the day before Christmas or the day before Valentine's Day? Right? Have you ever done that before? It's sad and funny at the same time. Here's what I mean by that. The stores are filled with men aimlessly walking around the aisles of the stores like deer in the headlights, right? They're just walking around. They have no idea what they're doing, but I know what they're thinking because I've been there. I have no earthly idea what I'm doing, but I know I need to be doing something. I can't come home empty-handed. Mama ain't going to be happy about that, right? I got to have something. That's one of the reasons, if you think about it, if you go to the store, they have all those bins right there at the checkout, right? Just a bunch of stuff just thrown in there, knick-knack stuff, whatever you want to call it. It's just sitting there. Why is it there? It's the just-in-case bin, right? Just-in-case. So, man, I'm going to help you out tonight. If you get to the cashier the day before Christmas or the day before Valentine's Day or the day before her birthday or the day before your anniversary, and you get to the checkout line and you lay out your items on the desk there, the table there for the cashier, and all you have is a stapler and super glue and some Dove chocolates, guess what? You need to check out the just-in-case bin, right? Because that ain't going to fly. I'm just trying to help you out. You got to go and find something for your beautiful bride. The value of the gift speaks to the significance of the relationship. And guess what? God sent His only Son. God sent His only Son. When God wanted to say to you, when God wanted to say to me, I love you. I love you this much. He doesn't send an angel. He chose His eternal, infinite, divine, one and only, no one else like Him, Son, Jesus Christ. There is no greater statement that could have been made about God's infinite love for you and I. And not only do we see God's love for us and whom He sent, Jesus Christ, but why He sent Him. That's important too. Verse 10 tells us that in this is love. Not that we have loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That word sent here means to send forth on a mission. Jesus came into the world on a mission. And the great story of Christmas is simply that. It is a mission. That is what we are celebrating. We are celebrating the very fact that Jesus Christ came into our world, your world, on a mission. A mission of great rescue. The very fact that Jesus not only came into this world on mission, but He completed the very mission He came for. Something that you and I couldn't complete or ever finish on our own. Well, what did He finish? That's a great question. What did Jesus finish? Well, John said that God sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. That's a great word, by the way. The word propitiation means to turn away the wrath of God by the means of an offering. The story of the Bible goes like this. The God of the universe, with great power and might, spoke into existence the world as we know it. And in that speaking, He showed His divine care, His divine love, by creating man and woman. Everything was perfect, but at some point, probably early on, man decided, you know what? I want to be my own God. I want to do my own thing. And so we disobeyed God. And because of that, sin entered the world. In other words, when sin enters the world, what we display to God is we reject God's love. We reject God's law. And we reject the relationship that God desires to have with us. Darkness entered the world. And when you and I sin against God, guess what we earn? Paul says in Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's what we earn. Every single one of us earn the sentence of death. However, because God sent Jesus on that rescue mission, Paul doesn't stop there. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That word "but" is a display of the great story of Christmas. Even though we rejected Him, even though we've sinned against Him, God says, I love you anyway. I love you anyway. So much so that I'm going to send my Son. I'm going to send my Son Jesus into your world of darkness, to pay the very debt that you owe, the very debt that you cannot pay on your own. Jesus is our propitiation. Jesus is the offering that turns away the very wrath of God from us and puts it on himself. John Stott says it like this: "For the essence of sin is man substituting himself for God, while the essence of salvation is God substituting himself for man. Man asserts himself against God and puts himself where only God deserves to be. God sacrifices himself for man and puts himself where only man deserves to be." That is the message of Christmas. God sent his Son on a mission. That mission is to rescue sinners. Who's the sinner? You and me. You don't have to look very far. It is not the person sitting next to you. It's the person that you look in the mirror at each and every day. But yet, he reveals his love for us that even in our sin, God sent Jesus into our life. And that leads us to the third and final truth. When you receive his love, you experience life. When you receive his love, you experience life. So because of sin, we earn, deserve death. But because of Jesus Christ and our faith in him, he gives us life. Verse 9 says it this way: "In this, the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his Son, only Son, into the world so that" what? "So that we might live through him." Now in the Greek, there's two main words that are used for live. One word is bios. Bios. You may biology, you know, biosphere, all those different things. Simply that means exist. Life exists, right? Well, that's not the word that John uses here. John uses a different word. Zahu is the word, and that word means to experience life. The reality is, you and I will never experience life apart from a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. There are over 6 billion people on the world today. Most of them are just existing. Just existing. That means day in and day out, in their marriage, in their family life, in their workplace, in their hobbies, in all the sporting events that they go to, all the clothes that they buy, all the music that they listen to, all the movies they go watch, most of them are just existing. But for the few who realize their sin against God and their only cure is through Jesus Christ, experience life. If all you do is exist, you will search, and your search will have no end. You will constantly be exhausted. You will be constantly let down. Why? Because to experience life isn't simply to exist. To experience life is to have a relationship with your Creator. And the only way to do that is through Jesus Christ. When John finishes his letter of 1 John at the very end, he says something very important. 1 John 5:13, he says, "I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life." John gives us an incredible word. He's writing to believers. That's what he says. He says, I write this to you who believe. The word believe here means faith. Faith is the way that you get to experience life abundantly and life eternally. You place your faith and trust in the person and work of Jesus Christ. Now, I know what you're thinking. Man, that just seems too easy, doesn't it? You mean God loves me? God shows his love for me by sending his Son, Jesus Christ? And Jesus dies on the cross for my sins? And you mean that if I believe in him, that I will experience life, life abundantly and life eternally? It's got to be, that's too easy. Well, it seems easy to us because somebody else already paid the price. Jesus Christ has already paid the price. And on that cross, as Jesus bled and died for you and for me, he cries out, "It is finished." And praise God, it is finished. The sacrifice has already been made. And your response, that form of belief, that form of faith, is surrendering and trusting your life in Jesus Christ. You see, the story of Christmas is you and I have sinned against God, but God loved us anyway. And he proved it. He sent his most valuable, most unique thing he could ever send us. At great cost, he sends his Son, Jesus Christ, his one and only Son, so that you and I can have a relationship with him. He demonstrates the value and the significance of the relationship. How? By sending us his Son, Jesus Christ. So the great story of Christmas, God loves you. So he sent his Son, Jesus, on a mission to reveal his love for you. And when you receive His love through His Son, Jesus, you experience life. Life today and life eternally. So, the question for you, as you think about the great story of Christmas, is simply this. Have you ever received Jesus? Have you ever received Jesus? Now, the reality is that maybe you're here tonight and you want to receive Jesus. But you think about your life. You think about what's ahead when you leave these doors. Broken marriage, broken home, broken finances, addiction, pain of past, pain of present, unknown future. The reality is, for many of those things, it's a long, lifelong process to change. And for some of those, they never change. But here's the reality. Through your relationship with Jesus Christ, regardless of what you are walking through now or what you will walk through tomorrow, your fear will be replaced with courage. Your anxiety will be replaced with peace. Your places of great discomfort will be replaced with joy. Your places of being alone and lacking companionship will be filled with the very presence of God in your life. And where you are weak, through His Spirit, you will be strong. And where you face addiction and turmoil in all those areas of your life, God will find a way to tell you over and over again that I love you anyway. That I love you anyway. Will you receive Jesus Christ tonight? And if you've already received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, He knows what you're walking in, He knows what you're walking through, and He knows where you're headed. And so it doesn't matter who you were, or who you are, or who you will be. God loves you anyway. He sent Jesus Christ here for you. Find hope in that. You see, there's hope in Christmas. That in darkness, light has come. That in all of our frailty, a Savior has been born.